This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to this week in ITFC history. My name is David Diamond and I'll be here each and every week alongside the renegade stat man to discuss the wins, the draws, the losses, the names and the games from another week in ITFC history. Stat, how are you this week, my friend?
I haven't got over Burt Reynolds, to be honest with you.
Yeah, who do we think might sort of pop off this week during our recording?
Oh, we can have it a bit like the film The Deadpool. Who is going to? I'm going to say.
Be careful.
Duncan Goodhue.
Okay.
In a swimming accident.
In a swimming. Okay.
But you never know. But one thing I want to say, apart from you sound a bit rough.
I am, mate. I've got a cold. I've had a cold for a couple of days. Really bad one. It's obviously flu, and I don't know how I'm actually roused myself to be here this evening, but you know, anything for the pod.
Exactly.
Professional to the end.
Seeing me as well. And there was a few viewers, I don't know how many there were, but there was a few viewers who commented on the fact that last week I was without cap.
You were hatless.
Hatless. So, hat once again for the renegade Statman.
What are you sporting today? It's a nice green, I don't know. What is it?
It's the Denver Broncos St. Patrick's Day edition cap.
Oh, that's a special one, isn't it? Is that the one Jonesy got for you?
He did. Daryl brought it all the way over from Jacksonville. Stay safe, Daryl, with Hurricane Florence coming around.
Jacksonville. Yeah, I mean, I think it's heading more sort of Carolinas, isn't it? North and South Carolina. But
I should say to my relations as well, who live in South Carolina, stay safe.
Absolutely. It looks like a one in... Well, let's call it a 1 in 30 year job, that one. So
back nasty. back to the cap though. I'm pretty certain that there's nobody else, it certainly is an Ipswich fan, that is wearing has a green Broncos cap. If you have, send me one. But
send you one. Well, send you another cap.
Send me a photo, or another cap. I've got loads of caps. I'll have loads to wear. So while you're sipping on your lem sip or whatever.
No war at the moment. Go on, Stan. Where are we going first?
Take us into the first game. It's 1986-87. And before I carry on, Mrs. Stat watched the last pod and she said, "Why do you keep looking to the side for?" And I went, "Well, that's because where my notes are on the iPad." And she went, "Well, why do you not remember it?" And I went, "Because there's loads of stuff." And then she made a little cut and remark of, "Oh, I'm surprised you don't actually remember everything, the amount of time that you spend with the stat machine." So there's a little bit of jealousy.
That sounds like, something my missus would say also, or the amount of time you spend looking at stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I spend more time looking at you than my wife now. But anyway, move on.
Go on, mate.
It's the 13th of September, 1986. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Town are away to Ron Saunders, West Bromwich Albion.
You nearly said Villa, didn't you?
You know when you just suddenly look and think, I'm pretty certain it's Ron Saunders. And in the away dugout was Bobby Ferguson.
Yep.
Which would actually this would be Bobby's last season as manager.
Yes, so they're very early days, very early few games of our first year after our hell of a run in Division One, as it were. Then, so what were you, 18 years? So promoted in 68, relegated in 86, 18 seasons, incredible, really. Or actually, is it 18 seasons since we've been there now? But anyway, yeah,
pretty close now, isn't it? And yeah. I think you've got to say that since 1968 to 2018, we've been in the second tier longer than we have in the top tier.
I guess we have just about now. Christ, that's a sad old stat, that one, mate. Oh, no.
I'm sure somebody will say, actually, you're not correct. It was like 90.
Well, hang on. So it was 18 years. Then we were 18 years. Then we were up for three or two. Up for three, 92, 93, 93, 94, 94, 95. So that's three. Yeah. And then two. Yeah. 18. How many is that?
23, in 23 and 50 years. So it must be 27 and 23.
Oh, you're joking.
We are a second tier club.
Yes,
anyway,
let's
go through the teams.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Home team or away team first?
Away team stat. Come on.
So that'll
throw
be us.
Throw some names at us.
All right. But we are away. So
gotcha. Yeah, do the home team.
Do the home team. Yeah. I didn't describe that very well. Stuart Naylor.
Okay. Yeah.
Clive Whitehead.
Oh yeah, ex-Bristol City. Yeah.
Yeah, carry on. I'll say the names.
I'll shout any if I've got any comments.
David Burrows.
Yeah, obviously went on to play for Liverpool. Very good side.
Oh, was that him, David Burrows? He must have been fairly young in
Coventry, West Brom. Yeah. Liverpool.
Martin Bennett.
Don't remember him so well. No.
Paul Dyson.
Yeah, ex Stoke, I believe. Yeah.
I think very early on in his career, Dyson sucked. But then once he became cordless, he was. he was a lot better on the pitch.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, Martin Dickinson.
No, nothing to say about Martin. Sorry, Mark.
Carlton Palmer.
Oh, blimey, Carlton Palmer. Future England international, incredibly.
What a great touch he had.
Oh, yeah. First touch, two touch, first touch control, second touch, sliding tackle.
this other guy, don't really know him. His name that well with West Brom, Steve Bull.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean, what maybe got to me about this game and obviously the notes you did. Well, let's get on to that. Bull. There's a better stat than this, but I didn't realise how many few games he played for West Brom. Hardly at all.
Yeah. Steve McKenzie.
Yeah, he scored that great goal in the cup final in 81. Yeah, the volley, Man City.
Bobby Williamson.
I don't remember him so well. I think it could have been Scott, yeah.
And Barry Cowdrill.
Unusual name. No, again, I don't really.
What,
don't
Barry?
Unfortunate name. Who's on it? Give us a town team. Run through them quickly, Stat. Go on.
Right. Well, I believe, looking at the notes, that we lined up with an unusual formation of a 3-4-3 formation.
What?
So, yeah, I know. Bobby was going for it.
It's 4-4-2. Hang on. This is post. Yeah. This is post 2000. It's 4-4-2. What?
So I'm going to list the team, but I'm not sure that I'm listing them in the right order on the pitch that they are. So we've got Cooper in goal. I'm pretty certain
that's
he was in goal.
Right.
Yeah. Cranson.
Okay, he's a centre half, wasn't he? Yeah.
Steve McCall, who I know started centre midfield in this game. Ian Atkins.
Yeah, good player. Liked him. Yeah.
Jason Dazelle. He just won the Fiat's Young Player of the Month award.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that. Probably not. Irvin Gurnan.
Yeah.
Nigel Cleghorn.
Yeah. He's a good player. Liked him. Yeah.
Romeo Zondervan. We spoke about him last week. Probably being the next foreign player after Mish Debray.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. John Dean. More about him in a minute.
Dixie. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kevin Wilson.
It's a decent team, isn't it? Looking at that. I mean, you'd expect it would be. We'd just drop down, I suppose, first season down. But, yeah, that was a good side. Went a lot of experience there. Bloody hell.
Yeah. A little bit more on John Dean. He had played for West Brom earlier in his career.
I think he started at Villa, Dean.
Yeah, then he left the Baggies and went to them up the road.
That's right, of course, yeah.
Reasonably successful there.
Yeah.
Swap deal, coming to Portman Road with Trevor Putney going the other way. And then he left us. He went to Manchester City.
That's right, yeah.
I think it was like a player coach or something. Okay. Was that Mel Machin or
possibly,
I want to throw that word, that name out.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
And then he went to Barnsley.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So in
good player.
We've got 3-4-3. You can make your whatever combination of players that we just listed at the 11, where they fitted in the 3-4-3, and we were all at sea. Oh, you're just all over the place. No one knew what they were doing. What position are you? I thought you were a left back. Well, I'm playing central midfield, and I'm giving it a go. So it's no surprise that on the second minute on the clock, West Brom take the lead. Bobby Williamson raced onto a long clearance from Dyson. He held the challenge off from Gurnon and then just drilled home a low left foot shot past Cooper. As I've just put down here an update, Towns' formation was not helping at all. 20 minutes into the game, West Brom score again. Steve Bull, his first goal for West Brom. And he fired home a low foot right shot.
low right foot shot. Yeah.
It does say low right foot shot. Right. That's why I should be looking at my notes and not trying to think what I'm saying in my head.
There you go.
Town were handed a lifeline in the 40th minute. And he sidestepped past two West Brom defenders and fired it in. So I think we kind of limped into half time, only 2-1 down, and quite lucky that we kind of rode our luck. So Bobby Ferguson did the right thing and said, hang on a minute, this is 1986. Why am I messing around with anything other than 4-4-2? Get 4-4-2 back in. So,
Tried and tested. Yeah, get it in.
It will never fail.
Nah.
You know, there will still be managers in 2018 that will insist that 4-4-2 is the best formation.
They won't call it 4-4-2, though.
No.
But yeah, we know it is. Know it.
And some of them might not even be in a job at the moment. But so he did the thing. Off came Gurnon. On came Frank Yallop. And we were far more settled. 6 minutes into the second half, Town get a chance. I can't remember who was brought down. We get a penalty. Yeah. I owe you one there. Yeah. Mark Brennan was our usual penalty taker.
He was
down with a virus. I think he might have missed an England under 21 match earlier in the week.
Yeah.
So he was absent. So Dean felt confident after scoring, and he stepped up to make it 2-2. Yeah, I'm trying to keep on track of so it's 2-2, yeah. So we think we're back in the game. 3 minutes later. I'm looking at my notes. It wasn't 2-2. He missed the penalty. That was it. I'm thinking this is not right. Doesn't add up.
That's just rewritten history.
I have. So, yeah, John Dean stepped up. He scored the penalty, I reckon. And then the referee made him take it. He missed it.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, Steve Ball put West Brom 3-1 up. So, yeah, I'm comfortable now.
Now, this is just while I think about it. Am I right in saying, and you said, they were the only two goals Ball scored for West Brom, and he only made 4 appearances?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mad.
I honestly didn't know that.
I've got some great stats for you.
But what I'm going to say is, that is what, and I know, because I can read it because you wrote it in your notes, but was it 60? He went to West Brom for 65,000. Tell you what, there's someone spotted some talent there, didn't they? God, 300 goals later. Literally, it was, wasn't it?
Oh, he let's have a look. He scored 306 goals for Wolves. He's the only player in Wolves history to score 50 goals in successive seasons. He scored 18 hat tricks, 561 appearances for Wolves. Now, this one, I pinched off the BBC website or some website, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Sure. That said, he earned, so bullet point number whatever, 5, he earned 13 international caps for England.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bullet point. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah,
13, you got to remember that one. So
13,
the next bullet point is he only took to the pitch in 6 of those games.
Right.
But still scored 4 goals. So do you win caps when you don't come on? I didn't think you did.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't think you did. I can remember him scoring a winning goal actually in a Scotland-England at Hampden. He scored the winning goal. But that's surely, just getting back to my point, 65,306 goals. Has that got to be the best buy of all time? It must be close. There can't be many better than that. Value for money. Got goals per.
It's got to be up there, isn't it? Yeah.
incredible. Although Bully, to be fair, Bully did live up to his nickname, because we have to sort of preface that. I don't think any of them were in the top division, were they? Or were they? Or maybe not many.
Well, I'm sure that the Wolves branch of the...
They're going to be down on a ton of bricks.
Apologies, ITFC History Pod are going to say that this is what it is. I don't know.
What talking about? Yeah, let's say a great vast majority of those were in the first and or second division as we'd know it now.
But obviously there was that very famous story with Bully that he played was going to play in the FA Cup final. And at the last moment, they said that you're not able to play. But what they did do is they took him into the trophy room and said, you know, let's have a look at what you could have won. If you don't understand that joke, you're too young. You understand it, and you're a bit taken aback
because although he's Wolverhampton, he lived in Birmingham and he could have won a speedboat. I mean, it's just completely useless, isn't it? But there you go.
But to be fair, they did give him the bus fare home.
BFH.
Yeah.
BFH. And his bronze bully.
Apparently he got nothing for two in a bed as well, whatever that means.
Watch that now on Challenge. Still watch that.
Yeah, it is on Challenge. Brilliant. And the other thing is that yesterday, talking about Bully, he was awarded the Freedom of Wolves.
Yesterday. Just yesterday.
Yeah, seriously? Just yesterday. So let's get back to the game, Dave.
Sorry, right? Where are we? What's the score now? Is it two all?
Never was two all. Forget that. It's 3-1. So here we go.
So we're 3-1 down, aren't we?
We're 3-1 down.
Setting the scene for the uninitiated. Go on. Yeah. Go on, Stat.
Everybody knows where we are.
3-1. Dean's missed the penalty.
So 5 minutes later, Dean scores to make it 3-2. He strokes home his shot following a Dizel cross. So we're 3-2 down. We're going into the last 12 minutes of the game. And Dean scores again. And I love this goal. So it's 78 minutes. He brings it back to 3-3. For those of you who are struggling to catch up, and I know that you and I are, Dave. So it's 3-3. Ian Atkins takes a free kick. And clearly what you're going to do, if the ball's heading right towards you, is score with your chest. So he kind of chests it in a way.
He breasts it in like that.
He does, yeah. Stuart Naylor is distracted. Ball goes the other way. Towner... 3-3 now. And then a minute later, unbelievably, Gleghorn's cross comes across. Gleghorn's cross comes over. Wilson scores. Towner 4-3 up.
That'd be Jockey Wilson, who, tenuous link, could also have appeared on Bully.
He would have done.
He would have done, wouldn't he?
So we are
4-3, mate. 4-3. What a comeback.
Don't ever pick a 4-3 game, Dave.
To be fair, it feels like 8-5.
That's right. But anyway, then we had a late chance. Dean puts a header across.
What a game.
Against the bar. Yeah. And then an even later chance, he found himself one-on-one with Naylor, but he shot straight at Naylor.
Cross so the mark, he could have had six. Missed penalty, hit the bar, missed the one-on-one, and scored a hat-trick.
He was the 76th Ipswich player to score a hat-trick. And that was our biggest away win in the league since 1982, when we beat Notts County 6-0. But the stat machine had a little look and found out that it was the 4-3 away. Yeah. It was the first time that we'd won 4-3 away since 1968, when we beat Norwich at Carrow Road 4-3.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So I don't know about you, Dave, but let's move away from this game.
Let's move away from this game. Let's get some sort of normality with a normal game. However, I have got a number one for you of that West Brom. So 1986, September. Hang on, what was it? September the 13th, 1986. I'll give you a clue if you haven't looked for it.
I haven't looked any of these.
He's got a very high pitched voice.
Oh, is it? Terence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, shout. Not quite. No.
Higher pitch than him.
Not a bad shout. Extremely high. Oh, yes. You nailed it, mate. It was the Communards. And don't leave me this. That one. Wait.
Oh. Was he in the Communards?
He certainly was.
I thought he was in another band.
Bronski Beat.
Ah, there you go. Did they not sing Don't Leave Me This Way?
Oh, hang on. Oh, shit. No, it was the Communards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just checking. 1972, 73. So some of the, we wouldn't want to call them older listeners, would we? Mature That's
did you have
wise.
Any? I mean, while I said that, I know there was a great idea today. You put the you tweeted it out, didn't you? Or you and or Ben tweeted it out. If anyone's got any you know, anything to say about the games, did you get anything back for that? I'd be intrigued to know if you got anything back for that one.
Well, funny enough, even though we have left the West Brom game, you have reminded me that I did get one reply about the.
We can't let that game go, can we? Go on.
We're in some kind of Dyson vortex with that game, I think.
Steve,
and it was
vortex. Yeah. Go on.
Tricky McTrickerson, that was his Tricky. First yeah. away game.
Oh, Justin, bloody hell. Yeah.
What a game to go to. But the one thing that really stands out to him was there was a lad, as he called him, so I don't know how old the lad was. Let's say 15 to 18. Yeah, and he just shouted out as an expletive, as you did in the 80s, and was promptly jumped on and frog marched out of the stadium by three members of the West Midlands Constabulary. So young Tricky McTrickerson at that point must have been about 15 himself, I reckon. Probably thought we need to get out of here pretty sharp. But that's all he says. So, you know, he does mention the fact that he scored
great
a
away game. What a brilliant game for your first away trip. Awesome.
And we have got a fan who's going to comment on this next game. They've sent a comment about it. So it is the 16th of September, 1972.
Yeah.
It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. Although if you've looked at my notes have changed a little bit, and I've gone with the cross between the 24 hours and the 12 hour clock. So yeah, it's actually 1500 p.m.
Hedging your bets there. I knew where you're coming from.
Yeah. Bobby Robson's in the home dugout. Tony Waddington, who famously, when he left football, went on to make board games.
Scrabble, Monopoly.
Scrabble, yeah. He was.
So I think to set the scene a bit further, so this is 72-73, and I know we've done bits on this season before, certainly last season we did, but this was the first season where everything clicked under Robson. Beattie had made his debut, and everything had clicked, and ultimately we were going to finish fourth. So this was the first great season, but carry on, there's loads to talk about this game as a Yeah,
there is. Well, just to give you an idea, before we went into the game, we'd won 4, drawn 3 and lost 1. And the only game that we had, we were beaten in, was at Portman Road, which the first top flight East Anglian derby, Norwich beat us.
I was at that game. It was Kevin Beattie's home debut.
Well, there you go.
And so, looking through the team, I know you perhaps said the town team. What I'd say is this was quite... And I did do a bit of double checking here because obviously that was Beattie's breakthrough season. We know he'd made his debut at Old Trafford about a month or so before. Then his home debut where we lost to Norwich and been winning and drawing since. He doesn't appear in the team, incredibly. He's not in that team. But doing a bit more digging, he was about to be because that was Derek Chopper Jefferson. That was his last home game. I think he played one more away game. Then he was sold to Wolves. And obviously then the regular Beattie and Hunter partnership flourished from then on.
Well, more of Derek Jefferson later. We'll go through the town team. So there were Best, Mills, Harper, Collard, Hunter, Jefferson, Hamilton, Morris, Belfitt, Wymark, and Lambert.
So just looking at that, so the two really main players that were missing there was obviously Beattie was out and no Colin Viljones. So Ian Collard out of the regular side, I guess. Ultimate, we'll get on to Belfitt in a minute, but the regular team that season would have been Viljone in for Ian Collard.
Stoke had a pretty good team.
God, look at Stoke. My God.
Gordon Banks, apparently 6 years before he'd won the World Cup with England.
Well, Gordon Banks, again, only a month before. So this was September, around about October 20th, a month later, he was in a car crash and that finished his career. He lost his right eye in a car crash.
What, just after this?
Yeah. A month later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
John Marsh.
Yeah.
Mike Pedgick. Name rings a bell.
Yeah, played for England under Ramsey. Yeah. Went on to play for Stoke, Mike Pedgick.
This is Stoke, isn't it?
I meant Everton. Yes, carry on. Yeah.
But you're right. You are correct. He did definitely play for Stoke. John. You need to get some Vicks on your chest.
I do all that later, mate. I'll get double strength Lem sip down me in a minute. Go on.
John Marnie or Mahoney?
John Mahoney, Welsh international, yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
Went on to manage Sunderland.
Yes.
Is that Dennis Smith?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah. The very same, yeah.
Alan Bloor went on to start a development firm. And the returning Jimmy Robertson, your sister's favourite. And my what I liked about this.
Crush.
Yeah, the Stoke named him as captain for the day.
Ah, nice touch. Yeah, I think he. Yeah, well, there's a bit more to come about.
There
Robertson.
Is, yeah. Jimmy Greenoff, who in my mind used to play for. Did he ever play for Manchester United?
Yeah, of course he did. And his brother Brian. Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
John Ritchie.
Yeah.
Terry Conroy.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hurst.
Deliberately left him out, haven't you, Stats? Yeah. So two World Cup winners in that Stoke.
Played for Stoke. I never knew he played for Stoke.
Yeah. And and something even more significant about Jeff Hurst coming up in this game.
Let's crack on. So, yeah, Robertson is the captain for Stoke, and I think he enjoys his return. So he spends most of the time winding the crowd up, and I read some newspaper article, lucky to find it online, and he winds the crowd up with tackles on Colin Harper.
Yeah.
And then he gives the – and so this is what it says in the match report. He gives the Harvey Smith sign to the crowd.
Yeah.
What is the Harvey Smith sign?
So the Harvey Smith sign was a V sign, and it was Harvey. Do you know who Harvey Smith is, don't you? You're not. Yeah, you know who Harvey Smith was. He was a famous show jumper. Tenuous. Okay. Yeah. So show jumping back then was huge. They used to have like the Horse of the Year show, and they used to shout on BBC when it wasn't Sky and stuff like that. It was a really big sport, you know. I think it got millions of viewers used to watch it. And he was one of the ones who used to be Harvey Smith, David Broome, and other famous show jumpers and stuff. And apparently he one judge faulted him or something one day or something like that, and he gave the judge the V sign, and the V sign became known as the Harvey doing a Harvey Smith back in those days anyway.
There you go.
Well, there you go. That was something else in those days. Jimmy Robertson gave the crowd the V sign. Is bloody hell, mate. That's almost giving him the middle finger these days, mate. Bloody hell.
What did your sister feel like when, you know, Jimmy came back?
I'm sure after she fell out of love with Jimmy Robertson after he left Ipswich, I think. So she didn't give a toss, really.
To put it into context for some of the younger fans.
Yeah.
Jimmy Robertson going and then coming back and sticking his fingers up at the crowd and trying to wind the crowd up. Modern day equivalent, who would that be?
Well, who's done that? I mean, Christ, I'm sure we've seen loads of examples, but I can't think. It certainly wouldn't be Darren Penn. No. It was like this when he scored.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be Mick McCarthy if he comes back?
Oh, you just waited for that. You just wanted, didn't you? Well, quite possibly. I'm sure there's been... Someone will tweet in. There must have been examples of player I can't think over the top of my head that have come back and given it large after scoring or something.
Well, do you remember Jason Dizel when he scored for Tottenham in the Premier League, and he scored that late equaliser in the 2-2, and he celebrated like he'd won the World Cup?
Actually, a good shot. He did, but he didn't. He just celebrated. He didn't give any.
He was a little bit over the top. But remember, Jason, I know you watch this every week, and he often messages me and Dave and says, "Oh, it's a great show. You know, can you get a game with me involved?"
Can get a game, preferably one I scored in. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you mention the Fiat Young Player of the Month? So we've done that for you, Jason, and I think you're great. But I always remember when he left and went to Tottenham, he said that he was a Tottenham fan.
That didn't enamour him, did it? Sort of recall that, and he had
still an Ipswich legend. So into the game.
Where we go.
We get to the 24th minute before the first goal of the game. Rod Belfitt, do you want to say anything about him?
Well, Rod Belfitt is an... let's get to the end of the game, because obviously Rod Belfitt has a significant part in this game. Yeah. Go on.
So Brian Hamilton's chip, Belfitt through. Banks is coming out. He's advancing towards Belfitt, and he lobs him. It's one of the best goals. Not this one. No, I'm not saying it was a bad goal, but lobbing the keeper is a great goal. And you just see the keeper kind of like desperately, you know, clawing
grabbing
back.
At
you
air.
Know. Yeah.
Flailing. Yeah. Flailing, I like to call it.
So we go into half-time, 1-0 up, and it's the second half. We're only 9 minutes into the second half. Lambert plays the ball back, and Belfitt is on the edge of the box. And
this is a stunner, isn't it?
I tell you what, the newspaper article kind of inferred that it was a good goal. My notes by saying, and he drives it in, are pretty poor. But I wanted to give you a comment that Bobby Robson said at the end of the game. So this is in 72. He's been with us for 3 years. And he said, that was the finest goal I've seen since I've been at Portman Road.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I can't remember much back then. But yeah, it was a good goal. Because remember, up till that season, pickings have been fairly slim. I think there was one season where under Robson where I think a leading goal scorer was Colin Viljohn with like six goals, I'm pretty sure, or seven or something like that. So pickings had been quite slim. So it was a hell of a goal, and better still, and as a rarity for Ipswich in those days, it was on Match of the Day. It was one of the two matches on Match of the Day, which was just unheard of back then, Town on Match of the Day. I mean, so much so, because I don't think you mentioned, but obviously we went on with, you know, well, we'll get about the game, but we was this before or after the game? We were second.
Yeah.
So hence, so we
certainly after the game, we were certainly second. So, you know, Belfair, he scored two, 54 minutes. It ended, he scored two goals, and that was five in the last seven days that he'd scored.
Yeah, so I did a bit of digging on that. He'd scored in a 2-1 away win at Southampton, and he'd scored two goals in a 4-2 win against St Johnstone in the Texaco Cup, which we went on to win that season. And the thing with Belfort was, in the first, we're now mid-September, at that point, I think he'd scored something like six goals, something like that. I don't know. He'd scored five in a week, but he'd scored six. He went on to score another three in fairly quick time, and we played Everton away. We drew 2-2. He scored in that game. So with his Texaco Cup goals, he'd scored nine goals. And that was like, this was like end of October, early November. To which point, Robson had got his eyes on David Johnson, the Everton player, who I can't remember whether he played in that particular game or not. But anyway, said to Harry Catterick, or made an approach to Harry Catterick, the Everton manager, said, look, I want Johnson. You know, I like him here. I want to put an offer in for him. And Catterick said, OK, but I want the big man in return. To which Robson said, oh, shit, you can't have him. Our defence will be full of holes, thinking he meant Alan Hunter. But he said, and this is in Robson's book, and you probably read this. He said, my heart leapt when he said, no, Belfort. And he said, there was no way, you know, all right, Belfort was a crowd favourite, and scored nine goals, but you could see what he was going to get with Johnson and Weimark. You could see pairing those two up together. And he could see, I couldn't almost sort of look, I couldn't bite his hand. He said, I played it a bit cagey. And he said, well, you know, we'll see, sort of thing. You know, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. So,
fantastic.
And I can vaguely remember that when they're saying, look, Belfort's leaving, the supporters, obviously, God, nine goals. We're up in arms, you know, just can't believe it. But as folklore say that, within two or three games, Johnson was exceptional. You could see why it's all forgotten.
We are fickle. Football fans are fickle. So it's easy to kind of forget players. You know, once they've gone, you know, you've got the new king in town. One thing that happened in this game, and I didn't know this at all. I found it really, first of all, I didn't know that Jeff Hurst played for Stoke. Secondly, he was sent off for dissent in this game.
Only time in his career.
Yeah. It was a second yellow.
So the season before, 71-72, the refs had, I forget what they called it now, something like a get tough policy, it was called. Cool. So there obviously weren't cameras at each game. Camera angle. Who am I waving at? I don't even know who I'm waving at.
We're waving at Ben Shaley there.
I'm waving at Ben Shaley. Camera angles at each, no different camera angles at each game, or very rarely a camera at any game other than was on Match of the Day or Match of the Week and stuff. So refs, I mean, honestly, some of the tackles that used to get unpunished would just be dead straight red today. So the season before, the ref really, I would say, got a lot tougher. But I think this was, and I remember at the end of the previous season, Harper was sent off at Portman Road. Certainly the end of the previous season. And Jeff Hurst for dissent, ironically, on Derek for complaining to the ref why Derek Jefferson wasn't booked, who probably single-handedly is the most dirtiest player I've ever seen. Well, Ipswich player I think I've ever seen, or up there amongst them, for sure.
I think the match report kind of hints that, you know, Jefferson was man-marking Hurst and giving him a tough time. But the match report kind of says he got sent off a dissent because he asked the referee, why hasn't he booked Derek Jefferson? Which to me,
that seems a bit over the top, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A bit OT.
So he got sent off, and you're right. The first time, the only time in his, well, this was the first and the only time in his career that he got sent off. One comment that picked up in the match report was that Alan Hunter, going back to what you were saying, was outstanding in this game.
He was the signing. I think these two, obviously Beattie coming through that season, but Hunter being signed virtually a year before to the day, I think 71-72 season, and then getting Johnson in the swap with Belfort, I think we gave them money as well, yeah, they were the two real catalysts that kicked off the, all right, we were doing well that season, but Johnson was the sort of final piece, and really that first Robson great side, you know, first Robson great side, really.
So that was game nine. We'd won five, drawn three, and lost one. 13 yeah. points in what you would call old money, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be 18 points from nine games, which would be two points a game. So that kind of shows you. And yeah. we were second.
Wow.
We've had a fan on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know if you know Noel Baker.
Oh no! Yeah.
He was at the Stoke game in yeah. 70. No, he wasn't at the Stoke game.
Stat, did he take a penalty? Did he miss it?
He did, yeah.
Go on.
The Stoke game in 72 was the only home game that he missed that season.
Okay.
Because, this is very, I don't know, because he was hit by a car whilst crossing Chevalier Street.
Oh, you got, no, I've got to stop laughing because I'm going to cough. He got hit by, he got run over on the way to the, tell me, was it on the way to the game, or don't we? Don't
well,
we know that?
It was in the
that?
Morning, and he said that he never found his shoe. And but as he's put, and as you rightly say, lucky for him that it was one of the rare games, one of our rare games on Match of the Day. So he didn't. He
great
didn't miss
story.
It.
Yeah,
he
I love
also
that.
Says he thinks it could well have been Rod Belfitt's home debut.
No, it wasn't. Rod Belfitt joined the year before. I think I saw his home debut, 71. Virtually again to the day, I think. And he scored. One of you look in your, because you, I know you do this. Another Ipswich player that I believe scored on his debut, or possibly his home debut. I think they beat Wolves, but no, it was a year before.
So yeah poor old Noel there.
Well, great story. Tell you what, that'd be a good sort of stream, that one. Odd reasons for missing games.
Oh, yeah.
Getting run overs up there. I've got to say no. Not because obviously that must have been, you must be fairly young at the time as well, for goodness sake. That is that, if anyone can beat that one, getting run over.
Yeah, exactly. Send in any, you know, near death experiences you have going to the game or whatever. Or, you know, strange things.
Abducted,
for me,
abducted by aliens in Alderman Road or something like that. Fantastic.
I once went on honeymoon and missed the game, but it's probably not the same.
Lame excuse, mate. It's rubbish.
But yeah, but over 18 years, I'm pretty certain I've had more grief than Noel did that day. But
Christ.
I'm not allowed to say that. Mrs. Stats there saying, all right, we'll take that out. So let's quickly move on to this century, at least. So we're coming closer to the modern day. It's the 16th of September 2000, and it is a 1500 p.m. kickoff.
You're going to continental.
I have 1500 p.m. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I don't know if that's GMT or BST, but we're going to. That must be BST then.
It's BST. Yeah.
Town are at Ellen Road. George Burley, obviously, is our manager back then in 2000, and someone I've got to say, got a very soft spot for the Leeds manager David O'Leary, because of his penalty spot kick win. Romania. When Paki Bonner made the save from Timofti, and we could have a chat, but
did
people would be
turned
off.
Did you ever read or see the film Roddy Doyle, The Van?
Oh, I've got the script.
Yeah,
love
I
that.
Thought you
we watch that at least. Well, I watch it now. They don't.
So good, isn't it? So good. Yeah,
love that.
It all centres around that game, pretty much. I know it's that summer, but around that game, it's fantastic. If anyone's not read it or seen the. It's in the film. It's worth recommendation, that one, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Just a little quiz for you. Do you remember what the van was called?
I haven't seen it for years. No, I don't. Go on.
It was called Bimbo's Burgers. He was selling burgers, wasn't he? And that was
that was fantastic.
Yeah. Right, we're going to go for. Let's have a look. So this followed on from the Villa game, which we discussed last week.
Yeah, it did. So, and I think we said about the Villa. I think we perhaps may have even touched on this game last week. I'll mention it in passing that the Villa game was notable because Marcus Stewart came on as sub and obviously scored. And if looking at the Ipswich side, this game, shock horror, Stewart starts and I assume Johnson's on the bench. I think
And if the other change in that Villa game was he brought John McGreal on, I think at half time in that game or something, and replaced him with took Vino off brought John McGreal on, and he actually stuck with those two changes in his starting 11. So the 11
against
were
that, against that. Look at the quality of the squad there.
As I say every week, I'm struggling to see where any of these players would fit into our current side. But you know, feel free to shout out any names that you think could do. Wright, Wilness, Clapham, McGreal, Bramble, Horizon, Holland, Jammer, Jermaine Wright, Stewart, as you rightly say, replaced Johnson and Scowcroft.
Well, that Leeds, was the side, wasn't it? That was ultimately the side, pretty much the side of that season, wasn't it?
There are going to be people who are listening to this saying that is their favourite ever Town team.
Oh, of an age, of course. Yeah. Oh, God,
Leeds.
Go on. Yeah, give us Leeds. Yeah, that'd
just
be good.
They just had a spanking. I like that way. They had a spanking against Barcelona midweek. Into the game. Injury hit. Lucas Radebe, who was their captain, was out injured.
Yeah,
Jonathan Woodgate.
Yeah.
But it's no surprise that he was injured anyhow, because I thought he made a career out of being injured.
Yeah.
And Harry Kewell.
Blimey.
Who was now the manager of Notts County and got sent off on his debut, didn't he?
Did he?
Last week, last weekend, that.
Look at the strength of the Leeds. I mean, we'll go for the Leeds side, but, you know, they're three big players, aren't they? My God, back then, those three would have walked into any side, wouldn't they?
Well, when I made a note of the Leeds team, and then I read later that it said that they were injury hit, and I looked back at the Leeds team and I thought, pretty strong team, yeah. So the team was Nigel Martin, Gary Kelly and Ian Hart.
Gary Kelly and Ian Hart. They were a good fullback pair, weren't they? Yeah.
Michael Dubry.
Mickey Doobs, yeah.
Yeah. Danny Mills.
Horrible. Yeah.
Move on. Lee Bowyer. More of him later.
Yeah.
Olivier Decourt.
Well, I love how you said that stat. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Oliver Decourt. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what my dad would say. Stephen McPhail.
Left foot, good player. Yeah.
Alan Smith.
Go on. Because there's one player here. Go on, keep going.
Michael Bridges.
Yeah.
And this other player that I put, he was wearing his magic hat because he does wear one, Darren Huckabee.
Totally forgot he played for Leeds.
Yeah.
If you'd have said, I'd perhaps got five or six of those, I'd no way in a million years would have said Huckabee.
Do you not follow him on Twitter? I mean, he's there, you know, every time Leeds are playing a Yorkshire derby, he's there winding up the opposition fans, like he does for it. Yeah.
I mean, he probably played a few times for him. I can't really remember. I was at this game. Now, I'll tell you what I remember about this game. And it's just odd stuff. Remember, I went with my mate Pat, a lot of the away games I went to back then. There was a petrol shortage. There was the tanker driver strike. That was around that time.
Yeah.
And it was touch and go whether we were going to drive up because nowhere had any petrol, virtually. So I think, you know, I found out that the BP garage down Ellenbrook Green had some petrol. So I think Pat had to go and fill up there the day before, literally. And also, this was right in the middle, and again, why I know this, I don't know, of the bloody foot and mouth epidemic, which brought most of the country to a complete. So you had the tanker driver, if you remember, the tanker driver strike, petrol tanker strike, and the foot and mouth epidemic. It's a bloody nightmare. I mean, we struggled up and made it up to Leeds, I remember.
You must have struggled to get off your estate with the foot and mouth disease. Did you have to come out of Diamond?
This house. No, I weren't living in this house then. No, I was living over there. No, I weren't living here then.
And the other thing about the tanker strike, so if you were, you know, too young and you didn't live through that period, there was a pretty good reason why we were running out of petrol, because everybody was panicking that we were going to run out of petrol. So everybody then just used to queue up at every petrol station. I remember
Yeah, do you remember it? You were driving then, of course you were.
My mate got a text saying, there's petrol at Sainsbury's on Hadley Road.
And it would just go through like wildfire.
Yeah. And then you'd sit there, probably wasting more petrol because you didn't have the ice stop on the cars or whatever, you know. So you sat there with your engine going, I forgot all about that. So you managed to get to Ellen Road. I guess the home fans treated you well.
I've got to say, sorry, Stat, it's probably one of the first times I went with good old Pat. I believe he sponsored the match ball or man of the match, and we were in the corporate bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
So, first time. I loved it. I remember it's the very first time I've ever done something like that. I quite enjoyed it, must admit. Yeah. Norman, the guy that did their match day was Norman Hunter.
Was Alan's doing
their match
brother?
I can't go along with that one. Sadly not, no.
No, no. Right, so you went up there. You've had your prawn sandwiches or whatever. Yeah. Probably can't even spell football. Sitting there in the... So you're in the executive box, director's box?
No, just nice seats, I think. Not director. Plush? No, nice seats.
Plush seats?
Yeah, I seem to remember, yeah, considering there's a foot and mouth epidemic, they were quite plush. Yeah. I don't know why I said that. Go on.
they weren't made of leather or something like that.
No relevance whatsoever.
Well, I think you're right. The foot and mouth disease meant that many cattle... They couldn't use leather then. So they actually, before this game, they had to rip out all of the leather seats because they were worried that they would have foot and mouth. Fans would have to turn up in welly boots and step in that little... You know when you used to go swimming when you were younger and you had to step in that... Yeah, foot bath.
Run through it, didn't you? Run through it, yeah.
So there
anyway,
were
where
fans.
Are we with the game? Where are we?
There were still fans coming through the little foot bath when Leeds took the lead. Third minute. Do you remember the goal? Do you want me to talk about the goal?
Talk about the goal. I remember a cross from the right, I think, from Decore, and a really good finish by Lee Bowyer. Shock.
Well, history's different, but you were there. I wasn't. There was a cross from Ian Hart. Fair enough.
Ian Hart, okay.
Yeah. Found Bowyer, who was unmarked. I don't know whether it was at the near or front post.
It was near post. It's quite a smart finish, yeah.
And it said in the match report he scuffed his shorts.
Scuffing, okay. Yeah, I can sort of see that. It all happened quite quickly. And we were trying to avoid foot and mouth at the time and the petrol shortage. No, it was a good note. It was a good cross. I was there. Yes, I was. It was a good cross, I remember. And it was just all happened. It was first time, let's say. Scuffed or unscuffed.
Then Town had a... had a lucky break because in the 11th minute, Nigel Martin, he very superstitious, you know, like Paul Cooper used to bring his gum and a little bag and stuff in the goal. Nigel Martin, he was really into his gadgets. So one of the things he brought along was his mobile phone and he actually had it in the goal. And in the 11th minute, it started ringing.
His mate said, Nigel, down the road, BP.
There's petrol, yeah. He then nipped off, so we thought, let's take advantage.
Got to say, at that point, when Leeds scored, they were all over. I know it's only like, third minute. I don't think we'd had a touch. So we'd just been just lost to Villa. We looked at each other and thought, this is going to be a long season. And this was the game. Go on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there were lots of fans thinking, you know, this is going to be a bad season. So ball goes into the box, in the penalty box. Ryderson kind of...
It's a really unusual goal.
Yeah, miscues a shot. You know, I think some people would politely say he was trying to pass it. Yeah. And he miscued a shot. And Scoey, with a dive and header, puts it into the empty net because Martin is still in his car. And
filling up.
Yeah.
Seriously, so 70. I'm not going to leave it on £69.89. I've got to get it to 70.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Have a big... My tank doesn't go up to... I mean,
all right, I'm saying I'm thinking of Nigel Martin's car. Mine goes up
he would have had like a big gas guzzler.
Yeah. Probably you're talking 100 quid, probably, actually. But yeah, not bad.
So later on in the second half, Martin comes back. Town can't capitalise on him being off the pitch for 24 minutes. but Town are playing a good passing game. And I think the point that you're saying, they start building in confidence and thinking, actually, we might be able to compete in this league. You know, Leeds, although injury hit, still far stronger than our team, I think you would say on paper before the game. And certainly
they weren't hurting us. We played really well.
Yeah. So we go in at half-time, 1-1, 35,500 Leeds fans there. They all left for 15 minutes.
Get some petrol.
More petrol down there. That's why we ran out of petrol. Yeah. So in the second minute of the second half, good interchange of Parson. Ball finds its way to Stewart. He plays him right, who fires at home right in front of the travelling Town fans that weren't in the plush.
Yeah, what a goal. It's just a lovely goal, isn't it? The move, the Stewart, you could see that's what we're about, really. And the goal, you know, as scruffy as our first goal was, I mean, that was just one of my favourite goals of all that. I mean, take all Stewart's goals, you know, the chips at Southampton and all these goals, you know, walking around the Liverpool defence. It's probably up there with my favourite goals of that season. That's a brilliant goal, you know.
Yeah.
Great finish, too.
Oh, well,
Jermaine Wright didn't score many, did he?
He didn't. I was a bit concerned that you were talking about Marcus Stewart's greatest goals, but then I realised you were talking about Marcus Stewart's greatest goals that season, because I was thinking, have you not mentioned Bolton away?
No, that's the playoffs.
We're talking about this season. That's fine. So it goes 2-1 up. Huckabee still wearing his hat. I think he's wearing it backwards. He had a decent chance to equalise in the last 20 minutes. Town are playing on the counter-attack at this point, nearly make it 3-1. Through Holland, but he puts his header straight at Nigel Martin, and that finished 2-1. It was our sixth league game. 1-2, drawn 1, lost 1, 7 points, and we were up to 11th, which is mid-table.
I mean, I thought when we found out, I seem to remember when we found out we're 11th, sort of going home that night, thinking, Christ, we're nearly halfway. Nearly halfway. Imagine if we could sort of finish anywhere near here. I mean, that game certainly, to my mind, was the catalyst for everything that season. I think we were certainly up against it. Got a bit lucky, obviously, with the Scoey goal. But that's what I think we needed. We needed that bit of luck to give us the confidence. Yeah. And I can't really... I know it's 18 years ago, incredibly now. I can't really remember Leeds putting us under that much pressure after we scored that second goal, you know. Great memories, that. Brilliant.
So just to let the viewers know, basically all of last season, I picked the games. And so I thought it'd be only fair that this season, Dave picks them all.
And you know where this is going, don't you?
So you know where it's going.
You know where it's
1988.
Going.
I can't believe we've not covered this game anyhow, because I think it was a 66 games and we've already covered 74 of them, I think, that you've tried to pitch for them. So it's the 20th of September, 1980. It's a Division 1 matchup at Portman Road. Bobby Robson is in the home dugout. Gordon Milne is in the away dugout of Coventry City. I want to think Gordon Milne was a manager of somebody else when I was a bit younger. Everton?
No, I don't think so. It's Gordon Lee was manager.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I used to get confused with my
Milne
Gordons
and Lee.
Back then. Very, Gordon, you know, very, very young. The Town team, I'll just read it and you can sit back and...
Go on, yeah.
And, Cooper, Burley, Mills.
Well, it's their team, isn't it?
Osman Butcher.
Yeah,
Tyson, Muren, Walk, Mariner, Brazil, and Gates.
It's the team. So the only one you'd add to that later on in the season, again, as we covered before, but it didn't because everyone wasn't fit. But the only thing you'd add to that is we lost Burley after Christmas and Mills went to right back and McCall came in left back. But that is the team, isn't it, that one?
There's a few players in the Coventry team that I knew when it jumped out. So I've kind of hazarded a guess at some of them. But I think... Les Seeley was in goal for. Sadly, passed away.
Yeah, very sad.
Great keeper. Co-op, East of England. I don't know if he was.
His name was Mick Coop. His name was, yeah.
Oh, Coop. Yeah. All right, sorry. Coop.
East of England.
Yeah. Roberts.
These are great names. Harry. Harry Roberts.
Harry Roberts.
Great name, isn't it?
He sounds like he would be in a heist film or something like that.
I know. I'm sure he is.
Tony Blair.
Yeah, obviously Tony Blair. No, it was Andy, aka Tony Blair.
Yeah.
Paul Dyson again.
Yeah.
There he is.
He was. Yeah. Do you realise that Paul Dyson, he went into management and he really liked the multi-ball system when he was a manager? I spent 5 minutes before this pod looking at our wand Dyson, thinking I must get some jokes out of it.
Get some jokes out of it.
Jacobs. Don't know. I'll move on.
Steve Jacobs, I think his name was.
Yeah. This other one, I had to double check that it wasn't a spelling mistake because I thought it might have been Kojak spelt badly, but it's Bodak.
Peter Bodak, yeah. Peter Bodak left commentary and went on to play for Man United. Not much, but that's where he went. Yeah, speedy winger, little winger.
Daly, oh, Steve, Jerry.
Jerry Daly, that Jerry well-known Daly. German newspaper. Yeah.
Never heard that joke in all that time.
You have.
I've never heard that.
Jerry Daly, of course you have.
I'm going to use that tomorrow.
Oh, stop it. Go on.
Mark, very young heart, Mark Hatley.
Very
there.
Young Mark Hatley, yeah.
Yeah. And Tommy Hutchison, who previously that season had been on loan with Seattle Sounders in the, whatever was the MLS, the NASL, or?
I think they were, I think he was spotted. They asked him back after he'd scored against Tulsa Roughnecks.
That's not a team. So he was in the team, and Hunt.
Steve Hunt, yeah.
Steve Hunt, yeah.
Well, Tommy Hutchison, that's an interesting one, because I didn't really appreciate that. There was obviously, they called him back, and he obviously played that game. And, 8-9 months later was to have an interesting cup final, scored at both ends for Man City.
One of there's a few players that have done that. I don't know how many, but not many. I looked it up last night. So when I'm saying that, I'm thinking, I just can't remember. I should have taken a note of that. Town were top before the game. Coventry were in their yellow away kit, which was kind of disappointing when I watched the footage because I was hoping to see them in
the brown.
Yeah.
With Talbot. Oh, no, cool. Hang on, where are we? 81? No, that was the next season, wasn't it?
Yeah, no sponsors.
That was the next season, yeah.
And we get to half time. It's 0-0, 20,500 fans there. To be fair, this is our 10th game of the season, even though this is our 7th league match. So we've been playing a few games, so I'm guessing, I don't know, 20,000. 20,000 to me doesn't seem that high. But
no, it doesn't. And don't forget, every week was pretty much everywhere, or every other week, or a midweek game. So this was the Saturday after our first game in Europe that season, where we beat Aris Salonika 5-1. So this was, I think, we used to play Wednesdays then. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, it would have been a Wednesday. So 3 or 4 days later. So hence, maybe that would have had some effect on the crowd.
And for those people who have been with us on the pod since Series 1, Episode 1, they'll remember that actually it's not Aris Salonika, but it's actually Ares Thessalonica.
Oh, that's
remember?
Right.
Yeah, Ares Thessalonica. So we get to halftime, like I say, it's 0-0. 12 minutes into the second half, John Walk, I've written down here, if you watch it, oh my God, it's one of the scrappiest goals you'll ever see. Bouncing around, pinging off defenders, scuff clearances, finally goes to Muren, who's on the edge of the penalty area facing Churchman's. You think, right, he's gonna fire it in.
He's going to caress it in.
Yeah, mishits his shot. That kind of finds his way, finds the ball to Walk. It kind of like just turns on a sixpence and sticks it past.
I want to say what I remember about these, and I haven't looked on YouTube for these goals, but both goals, ultimately, the finish is virtually exactly the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Walk, almost in a very, very similar spot. You can find it on YouTube. If you put in ITV season 1980-81, you can find it on there. It's like an hour and 50 minutes, but I managed to track it down. So the Town 1-0 up. 6 minutes later, Walk scores again. So this was his fifth and sixth goal of that season already. So he was already on a roll. Muren's on the right. He's attacking the Churchman's end. He floats a ball into Brazil. Brazil goes up with, I don't know, let's pick Co-op goes up with him. And it kind of comes off here, off the back of Brazil's sort of shoulder, bounces towards Walk. Walk controls it on his chest. Brilliant, brilliant control there. And it just...
Got a bit of a co-op related pun there, because it's a bit unfortunate, and I think co-op felt a bit of an idiot. I think he felt he was a right divvy.
Oh, very good. Do you remember your mum's divvy number?
45728.
just from a GDPR point of view, is that all right if you give that?
I'm sure it is. Yeah, that's long gone now. Everyone can claim it now. I'm sure. Bless my mum. She's up there now.
At the end of the game,
saying it now.
I'm just picking up a book that I know you like, Dave. I want to pick up for a quote. So at the end of this game, just to put it into context, it's our seventh league game. We've won 6, drawn 1. Therefore, we haven't lost any. We got 13 points. And we're top, and we've been top since the 30th of August. We've just won 2-0.
Yeah.
And this is what Bobby Robson said at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's on page 141. I'm getting there, 137. It's such a good book.
I thought you would have bookmarked it, to be fair.
Facts. Well, I did think about it, but then I thought I'll find it easy.
Yeah.
You know, you learn after. So Bobby Robson said after the result, well, this is what he said. After this result, we are the only unbeaten team in the league, but I can't believe how quiet it is here at Portman Road. It's not the atmosphere you expect. Some of the crowd are like zombies.
Yeah. I think me and Ben certainly spoke about this last year when the furore was going on about obviously stuff that our previous manager of last season was coming out with. And I did make a point that, We all felt at the time that, you know, it's down to the owner, really. The owner perhaps should have come out and made him apologise, or at least come out with something about it. But this is a difference. Obviously not an owner, then the chairman, John Cobbold, the legendary John Cobbold, basically, I think, had Robson there on the Monday and said, look, you know, I understand your frustration at the crowd, but look, you know, I think you're out of order and I think you owe them a public apology, which I think he did that day in the always quoted in the Evening Star, you know.
Yeah.
Just handled with complete class and on you go, you know. And I think what I remember about then, because I, you know, used to go to all the games back then, there were even people made, you know, I'm a Robson zombie badge and stuff like that out of it, you know.
Wow, I tell you what, if somebody...
Oh, you'd pay good... If someone's got one of them, I haven't, I'm sure I had one somewhere. Yeah. Stat, that's a one bit of missing memorabilia, mate.
Oh, I'd love that.
Put it out there.
Someone like Noel Baker, he's going to have it.
Oh, Noel might have it. Someone, Jules might have it. Jules Hughes might have it. GB, someone like that.
Alistair Ross.
Just incredible. And just, and I mean, I know we've covered this season to death, but just some stats from this season. I mean, it's not until you look at it. We lost how we blew it. I mean, I know when we said because we had injuries, we had such a small squad. We lost 2 of the first 32 games and then 7 out of the last 10. It's just
madness.
two or three draws, for Christ's sake. You're almost there. It's just a madness, but I'll never see another season like that. Absolutely fantastic. And even better, what a number one stat. What a number one. What do you reckon?
Oh, well, I did think about this as I was out walking, and I'm going to say 19. So I had a... So this is what went through my head.
This
ABBA.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. This guy at the time...
Gary Newman.
No, this guy at the time was probably the... Certainly in the UK, the biggest... And I would call him pop star in the UK at the time.
In 1980.
For sure. Yeah. Steve McLaren. Yeah, 80, 81. Definitely was.
Oh, biggest pop star in
1980. Used to make pretty extravagant videos. This one especially. You'd remember the video. You might actually remember the video for this more than the song, actually.
Oh, was it Elvis? So he died 3 years before. So I've got to think of somebody... I can hear people now just screaming the name out. It's a big star in 1980, not Michael Jackson.
No, British. He was British.
Oh, British, yeah.
So X came from he went sort of like towards poppy more, but came ultimately initially from a sort of punk new wave background. He was initially, and he changed. He was very much in like Michael Jackson, not quite. Very much used to, in their image.
Oh,
changing
was it
his image?
Public Image Limited.
It was Adam and the Ants and Prince Charming.
Oh, Prince Charming.
Don't you ever.
That was a classic. Great. Is that when he crashes through the window or something like that? Oh, that is. I've got to say, it's a great, great video. One thing that worries me is that, you know, if you're in 2018, you're of a certain age, then zombies kind of mean one thing, which is like running around and, you know, fighting people.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah.
So yeah. What did he? You know, zombies back then.
I think he was more zombies back then meant sort of docile, sort of, you know, couldn't give a, you know, in a zombie like trance sort of thing.
I read about that in the Daily Mail with that new spice drug or whatever, and they were saying they were creating zombies, but they were mainly just falling asleep and stuff.
Also, what I do remember about that day, again, you know, little stuff you remember, and you probably can see it if you got the vid. It was. I know it was mid-September. It's probably still 80 degrees. It was one of them freakishly hot September days, so it was really hot. But yeah, do you know what's that? Also, in the crowd's defence back then, I think people just took it for granted. Oh, we're playing commentary. We're going to score at some point, and we're going to win. Yeah. You know, it's almost like that.
A little bit like the effect day. Sometimes that they have at Old Trafford and stuff. That, you know, fans are turning up just thinking we're going to win.
Yeah. Not so much these days, but yeah, back in the day under Ferguson, for sure. Dad, have we got any birthdays this week?
We have. We've got three birthdays, and on the 17th of September, Troy Brown will be 28. Mm-hmm. Troy joined Ipswich from, he was released by Fulham, and he played for us between 2010 and 2011. He made his debut.
Fullback? Right,
centre half, I kind of think. Well, you know, this was Roy Keane era, he could have been playing anywhere along there. Mind you, be careful what you say about Roy. You know, I was just having a chat with Stephen Ward last night, and he was just saying it was all made up, a bit of a joke. But yeah, no, let's go back to Troy Brown. So he made his debut in that horrendous 3-0 home defeat versus Sheffield United at the end of the 2009-10 season. I think all Town fans just want to see the back of that season. Yeah. That was also, I think, Tom Eastman's debut, where he became the youngest player to be sent off. And what I always remember about the game is that the Apache gunship delivered the ball. I always remember that. And
he's had quite a decent career, Eastman. He's done really well with Colchester, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I think
he has.
Quite well this season. Yeah, sorry, go on.
That's right. Troy Brown, 10 starts, seven substitute appearances. At the end of 2010-11, he was offered a one-year contract extension, but turned it down. So he became a free agent and signed for Rotherham. I think he played for another team, but he's been at Exeter City since 2015 and famously scored...
From about 1 inch a couple of 2 weeks ago, didn't he? In the game proper, not the...
That League Cup game, that's the reason that you play. You don't play your first choice keeper in the League Cup game. And I think, you know, Gherkin there when he was at Exeter, he flapped.
Stop it now, Stan.
Let's move on,
boy. Who's next? Talking about goalkeepers.
Yeah, there we go. Seamless link. David Stockdale, and I was kind of shocked. David Stockdale, the keeper, is 33 on the 20th of September. We got him on loan from Fulham. He was with us from August 2011 to December 2011. But Mark Schwarzer, the then Fulham keeper, picked up an injury, so he went back.
I'm staggered about Stockdale, because I always used to rate him, and he's now on loan at Southend.
Yeah, from Birmingham. I don't know whether that says a bit more about the financial situation that they got at Birmingham City.
Good point.
But surely some other team, no disrespect to Southend, but you are a very small Essex team that.
Also, I can't believe Southend, again, not being disparaging to Southend, they are quite a small team in Essex, are paying the vast majority of his wage either. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't think so, would you? I mean, great.
You look at Southend, I don't think it's been said, but they are a small team in Essex, so they have done well.
If I've incurred the wrath of the Wolves bully supporters, you are going to get mullered by Southend stat. But anyway,
I don't know about you, but would you rather be attacked by a wolf or a shrimp?
Oh yeah, I'll go for shrimp.
Yeah, so come at me, shrimps.
Bring it on.
But can I just hasten to add that if there is like a firm of Southend United and they're called the Shrimps, I wasn't actually calling you out.
He was calling you out.
I was calling out the little shrimps. Do they swim like that? I don't know. So our final birthday, we had to fit this guy in this week, and you know why not? Jonathan Walters, the returning Jonathan Walters, will be 35 on the 20th of September. He first came to Town's prominence when we played Chester in the FA Cup. Yeah. His first spell at the club was between 2007 and 2010. It's quite interesting because talking about the the potential leaked Roy Keane incident with Harry Arter and Jonathan Walters, and they kind of refer back to in this argument about what happened.
Yeah, it's quite funny actually. Yeah, you can't you just can't leave it alone, can he? You can't leave it alone.
It's just like, you know, just you got to move on. So
they had a good result last night. The old Republic 1-1 one, wasn't it? Pono just conceded late, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, following the Wales debacle. Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, you came up against a world class player on the night there, mate.
Yeah, without a doubt. He went to Stoke, and you know, Jonathan Walters, and I'm only teasing here, he went to Stoke because he wanted to go to Stoke, and that's why Roy Keane and him fell out, because he said, if you want to go to Stoke, you're not going to be the captain anymore and take the captain's armband off.
Totally, you haven't got a problem. Yeah. I mean, no matter what you say about Keane, they haven't got a problem with that.
No, and I don't think anybody at the time stood in his way. You know, he was going up to a Premier League team. Did incredibly well there. You know, his
great career
really went off, you know, and internationally played 53 matches, I think, for Ireland when he was at Stoke. But when he was at Ipswich in his first spell, 133 starts, 14 subs, 32 goals. And obviously he's now back for his second spell.
I mean, slightly concerned that he was, whether it was over the stat. I mean, apparently, reading between the lines, I think he's perhaps was sent back just to perhaps get up to speed, match fitness with us, more than an injury or a spat with Roy. I'm not sure. Who knows? Anyway, but yeah, look, it's great. We need experience, and it's great that he's back.
But one of the things I want to mention too, so he's going to be 35 when he next plays, and so I went with the stat machine and thought, let's have a look. Was the last player who was 35 years or older? I'll give you a clue. It's not Lee Bowyer. So I have got, and I'm going to count them now, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players, including Lee Bowyer, this century, that were over 35 or over. Can you name them?
No, I don't know where to start, mate. No, I got a cold. I'm struggling. Over 30. Christ, really? 11 this century. Yeah. Over 35 play for Town. How many on loan? Most of the last season, probably
one.
Oh,
and I'll tell you what, you can make a goal. You can make a pretty good 11 out of this team.
Go on, give it to. I'm beyond thinking about it tonight. Go on, who you got
in goal?
Yeah.
Keith Brannigan.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's go with a right back of Fabian Wilnes.
Was he 35?
I think he was older. I think he was 37, probably.
Probably was. Yeah, good point, yeah.
A left back, let's go with Mark Kennedy.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Got you weren't that impressed with him, were you? Midfield, well, centre half.
Venus?
Mark Venus, alongside Tony Mowbray.
Oh, Christ.
That obviously makes it a bit difficult for me to figure out where I'm going to stick Matt Elliott.
Matt Elliott? Oh, he was the loanee then.
But in the middle of the park, we'll have Lee Bowyer with Ivan Campo.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And who else have I not mentioned? Jim McGilton. And Alan Lee. Yeah,
Alan Lee. My God.
So it was, I'm guessing it was...
Alan Lee
might have been the last person over 35. Didn't he play after...
Did he come back and come on a sub? Oh, I can't remember.
FA Cup third round replay away at Preston. I think he came on as a sub.
I think you're right. He did. Good
spot. I don't know whether Edwards was...
Joe Garner hat-trick. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. We should sign him.
Yeah. I always liked him. Yeah, that's a great one. I love that.
So there you go.
Good stuff, mate.
You've managed to get through, you know, without dying, which is always
not
a positive.
Not too bad. I've done quite well there because I was. Last night, it'd have been a no-show. No show last night. But brilliant. Enjoyed that, mate. We hope everyone else out there enjoyed it. If you remember any of the events we talk about or have any suggestions, then please let us know on social media at Blue Monday ITFC. You can reach me at DavidDiamond3. Stat, where are you?
At ChompX3.
Please don't forget to hit follow on there and give us a like at facebook.com/BlueMondayITFC. So where are we? I'm trying to think because we did this last week. It was international week. So this week, the wonderful Harry, someone usually Rich, will be back on Friday with Harry. Fantastic preview show of the Hull away game featuring Harry from Bath. The flagship show will return on Monday. On Monday without me. I'm taking a week off because I'm not going up to Hull this week, but I think a couple of the other guys certainly are. Ben will be hosting that. And we'll be back same time next Wednesday with another walk down memory lane stat. It was a lot of good content this week, mate. I like that. Because you let me pick the games, and it's easy to pick. But, oh yeah, there's a bit happening in that game. There's a bit, but yeah, it was a fair bit more content.
There was a lot in there, but just before, I've just heard there's some petrol at Ellenbrook Green, mate. Take care.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
From better back to Stewart. Oh, he turns to defender sweetly. Round the goalkeeper and scores a magnificent goal at the top end.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.